Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Songwriters on Process podcast. My name is Benno Papari, and since 2010, I've run the Songwriters on Process website, where you can find more than 200 conversations with songwriters about the creative process. I'm not here to talk about tour stories, band drama, how a band got its name, or favorite foods. My goal is to treat songwriters as writers, plain and simple. This is an intelligent conversation about the writing process between two writers. And today's interview is with the legendary drummer, Dave Lombardo, founding member of Slayer, member of Testament, and many other bands, but certainly best known as one of the founding members of Slayer. Lombardo has a solo album out May 5th on Ipecac Recordings called Rites of Percussion. It's all instrumental, no vocals. I've interviewed a couple of artists, not too many, who have recorded instrumental albums, but this is certainly my first, and there aren't many instrumental drum solo albums. And according to his press person, he has incorporated a bunch of different percussive instruments. So I'm going to read some of the items on this list: two drum sets, single and double bass kits, a large concert bass drum, a timpani, a grand piano, and a flock of shakers, maracas, Chinese and symphonic gongs, Native American drums, congas, timbalas, bongos, batas, wood blocks, cymbals, many other drums, names I'm not sure how to pronounce, so I'm not going to try. But anyway, it's very interesting, and certainly we did not talk about lyrics because there are none on this album. But it was you know, one of the things that struck me was, if you're a drummer, you must hear rhythm in everything every day. I mean, so many things that we hear are rhythm based in our everyday sounds, whether it's walking, whether it's driving, whether it's going over bumps when you're driving, or just anything, any sounds, everything is rhythm. So isn't that maddening? You must be noticing those things all the time, I said. And he admitted, yes, it's difficult to deal with, but it's also inspiring to hear the rhythm in a jackhammer or the bumps in a road. Specifically, I love this, and I'd suggest maybe this is a new area for inspiration. He said a clumpy pair of shoes in a washing machine is inspiring too. You hear rhythm in that. And I've heard other songwriters tell me, I think it was Stu McKenzie of King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard told me he got the car alarm of gave him a sound idea once, a song idea once. But everything we hear is so rhythm-based, and so you've got to be, whether you know it or not, you're always noticing those things. So he certainly derives inspiration from that. But the big thing is that when he plays the drums, it's a way for him to change his emotions. Whenever he finishes playing the drums, he feels better. He wants to go take a walk with his wife or go do something, but it's a way for him to change his emotion. Then when he comes out of a drum session, he always feels better. So it's almost like a cleansing. And he told me this record is a journey through what I'm thinking, what I'm hearing. And it's a very unique album. So, and I enjoyed it a lot listening to it. And anyway, anything else? I think no, I'm just looking over my notes here, but this is a very interesting conversation listening to what he does in that process that does not involve lyrics. So I enjoyed this a lot, and I hope you enjoyed as well my interview with Dave Lombardo.
Thanks for taking the time to talk to me. I guess I always like to start with, when I talk to artists, are you a create? You know, I guess they fall into two camps. I mean, I don't know if you saw that interview with Bruce Springsteen and Howard Stern, and Howard Stern asked Springsteen if he wrote every day, and Springsteen said no, because sometimes I got nothing to say. So when it comes to creating, you know, in some form, are you a create when the mood strikes person, or kind of you've got to do this every day to be an artist?
When the mood strikes, it there has to be a trigger. Something has to happen, whether it's something you hear randomly as you're, you know, you're driving or you're at home and just something comes up and just, you know, clobbers you on the head. And you're like, I need to go upstairs. I need to go write. I'm having a creative moment. I don't see how anybody could just, although I know someone who is an amazing musician, composer, and he practically writes every day, he's told me, and that's John Zorn. And I'm a little different, than I guess most.
Yeah. So do you, if it's not happening after a few days, and honestly, like I hear that. I mean, I both ways. I hear some people say every day you got to do it, regardless of how bad it is. You've got to work through the bad stuff. But some say just when the mood strikes. But is there a time, like if it's not happening after a few days, when you start to feel anxious, like it's not coming, but I really need to be doing something?
No, because when I do feel any kind of, if I feel any moment that I feel a little stagnant where nothing is happening, what I'll do, since I have a love for engineering, and sound, I'll go onto my computer and I'll learn, how to run some new software or, research, a compressor or preamp or something, and then sometimes, that'll lead me to the creative process. I at least try to have something to do with music, every day, whether, it doesn't necessarily have to be writing. It could be just listening or research. In my case, I have to, sit down and learn new music. And, that's time consuming and sometimes exhausting. So sometimes that doesn't leave any room for creativity because, in a couple of weeks, you got to hit the stage. You got a couple of new songs to learn and refresh the old ones. For example, my case with Mr. Bungle. So there's always something.
And when you create, are you how disciplined are you when it comes to that ritual? Like, I guess I've interviewed, like I said, I've never interviewed you're the first drummer, I think. So you can't take your drum kit from room to room. Like guitarists can take their guitar from room to room, but how important is it? Like, how disciplined are you as a writer, as a writer? I mean, do you write, is it kind of like a time of day thing? For you, is there a certain time of day when you're most effective?
It can happen at any time, day or night. There's no particular time, but there is definitely I have to, I'll wake up in the morning, I'll have my coffee, my water, have some breakfast, chat with my wife, maybe watch TV. And then, all right, it's time for me to go to work. And I'll go upstairs, take a shower, and go into my studio. And sometimes I'll have an idea of what I'm going to do. And sometimes I'll just go in there, maybe tidy up. Like I said, maybe go and learn some new software, or who knows, I might get creative, open up a new session, new template. Let me see, what am I feeling? What's my tempo today? How am I feeling? What are the different tempo names, Adelante, do I feel, oh man, I got to look those up here. Tempos, do I feel a little slow? Do I feel fast? Do I feel energized? Is there a spring in my step today? Do I feel like there's impending doom or something and I need to write something a little on the darker side? It just really depends.
You know, you said something that I've never thought about, because drumming takes so much physical energy. I would imagine, you know, that your energy level, obviously for that day, has an enormous impact on the songwriting. I mean, that seems pretty simplistic, but, you know, with the guitar, you don't need as much energy as you do to play the drums the way that you play. So that's, you said something that struck me, that I imagine that the emotion, the energy level has a huge impact on what you're going to create that day. Like, if you're fatigued, it's going to be something different, right?
Yes, it definitely will. It definitely will. And your mindset, you know, how do you feel? What's your, you know, what do you, sometimes we nobody wakes up every day feeling great. We all have our days, you know, and, you know, for someone to say, oh yeah, I don't have any issues. You know, I wake up happy every day. It's like, that's bullshit. Everybody has their moments. And, I have those as well. And, you know, some days you're just down and you're either drawn to the studio, or you're just going to lay on the couch or just lay in bed all day, you know? And most of the time I'll end up in the studio, because it's kind of my little cubby hole. It's where I just go and just close all the doors, close the windows. It's super dark. It could be, you know, 80 degrees sunshine. There hasn't been a cloud in the sky for the past 3 months. And I'm in a self-induced cloud. You know, there's no sunlight, candles, everything's dark in my room. And that's usually, you know, because of the mood. And that helps me sometimes to focus and get creative. And then when I'm done with whatever it is that I'm doing or trying to create, and sometimes it's not good at all, it's just throwaway, although I never throw it away, I just keep the session, by the end of that several hours, you know, I was in the room, I'll feel better. It's almost like I had this cleansing happen, you know, and all I did was just escape into my world of creativity. And it's, I think I wish everybody had something like that, you know, where they could, you know, channel, you know, any of their, you know, negative moods onto something and be productive or not, but at least channel it somewhere, you know, in a positive way.
So if I'm hearing correctly, the creativity comes, the inspiration comes from kind of the darker moods rather than the upbeat happiness, right?
It could happen from either or, but the more sad times or the times you're more down, those aren't as productive as, let's say, your normal, you feel like it's a normal day. Like it's a good day. You know, you're not feeling euphoric, but you're feeling like it's a good day.
Yeah.
Those are more productive than, you know, when you're feeling down.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's still, like I said, it's still good, you know, to go into the studio when you're feeling that way, because, you know, your mood has a chance to shift. And then when you come out of the studio, hey, I feel pretty good. You know, hey, let's go take a walk. You know, let's go out to dinner. Let's go by the beach or something.
You said something earlier about, I think you said the word tidy. And I do hear this a lot from songwriters that say that they always have to start the process with a clean, literally a clean room. So the room has to be clean. So did I hear, does that, when you said tidy, is that a literal thing? You know, like, does the room actually, they say that the room has, it'll end up a disaster, but even they have to start, they have to clean before they create. I don't know. Does that ring a bell to you at all?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And I find myself doing that, you know, let's say if I worked the night before or a couple nights ago and there's cables all over the floor, you know, maybe I was tracking a guitar or something. I do have to pick that up, tidy up, remove any papers or any notes, you know, put them in their, you know, respective folders and, you know, put those away, If there's any glasses, cups or whatever, yeah, it cannot be. I can't think. And I never knew how important that was until recently. And, you know, even things at home, if there's something that hasn't, if there's a task that I haven't completed, or a chore or something, it'll linger in the back of my mind during the creative process, and it will distract me. And you can't have any kind of distractions, you know, when you're trying to be creative.
Songwriters also tell me of all of the voice memos that they have in their phones, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of voice memos. And I always get anxious because I say, how do you go back? Is there any sense of organization to those voice memos and you want to find one other than just scrolling frantically? So I'm guessing you have many of those. Is there any organization at all to those?
The dates, the timestamp, that's all we have. Or at least that's all I have. Maybe there's a description at the top. And it'll say where I was. Like sometimes something will hit me and, you know, I'm somewhere in Italy and the city that I was in. And I'll give a little description. But for the most part, it's just dates. I'll sit in the car. I'm driving in the car and I'll turn on my voice recorder and I'll start singing, humming, tapping on the steering wheel or whatever. And sometimes I'll refer to it and, you know, make a judgment call. Is this good or is this just okay? And sometimes I'll go back and I say, wow, this is a good idea. I could work off of this. But then other times, you know, it'll just be, oh man, what was I thinking? The feeling at that moment, you know, was greater than the actual rhythm or the idea or the melody. I have a lot of those voice memos. And actually the other day I was discussing, I'm going to release a video, tomorrow, I believe, with the new single from the record. And I was asking my wife, you know, that I wasn't able to recreate the sound that is on the record. It was some kind of strange feedback between phones and my studio monitors, because I was communicating with my wife via cell phone. She was in the monitor room and I was downstairs recording. And I think something happened where it was picking up the drums. And she said, I still have that voice memo. I said, I would love to hear it because I don't understand how we recorded that. And, you know, we were cooking dinner. This was several nights ago. And she sat there. I'm still scrolling. Is this it? I said, no, that's not it. She goes, we can't find it. And she couldn't find it. I couldn't find it on my recorder. To this day, we're like still dumbfounded on how this sound that later became a sample that I used on the record was created. So there's a bit of mystery there. It's like, how did we do that? I understand how the feedback was created, but how did we record it? Where's, you know, the third, you know, instrument that recorded the sound? And so we still don't know. It's a mystery. But yes, voice recorders, so amazing. I remember I used to call, before voice recorders, I used to call my answering machine and leave voice messages, you know, with ideas, rhythms, or song ideas, melodies. That was a while ago. Now it's super easy.
So I imagine then that you, you know, that you have to be, when you're out and about out of the studio, you just have to be, are you hypersensitive to your environment when it comes to listening for sounds? Or do you just find that when you hear something you know, you're not conscious of, you're not hypersensitive to your environment, but you will hear something and say, oh, that sounds like a beat. I think there's a difference, right? It would be exhausting if you're always listening and hypersensitive to every sound of your environment. But I imagine, right, given that you're a drummer, that you have to kind of always be on the alert when you're out and about, right?
Yes. Yeah. And it's not nauseating, but it's sometimes difficult to deal with. Especially some frequencies, some sounds, it's like, whoa, that was painful. You know, a human's voice, you know, sometimes they'll have a tone that's like, whoa, that was a little loud, or that was, you know, that was a harsh, you know, frequency that, you know, that the lady's voice was in, or rhythms, you know, if you hear you're driving by a factory, your window's open and you hear something, or you're hearing a jackhammer, you know, you'll always find like some kind of inspiring rhythm, you know, even like, when you're driving on the highway and you hear like certain bumps in the road, you know, and they're consecutive and they're almost in rhythm. You know, that is sometimes annoying. It's like, oh, come on, stop it. You know, it like haunts you. But then there are times where you welcome that, you know. There are sounds that happen, whether it's a washing machine, you know, with a clumpy pair of shoes in there or something, you know, and it's creating this really monotonous rhythm, but beautiful in a way. It's like, wow, that's awesome. That's a really cool rhythm. I need to record that, sample it, loop it, you know, and play drums over it somehow. So there's always something inspiring, and I think it can get a little annoying, because there's times where you just don't want to gravitate to any rhythm or any sounds. You just want to just chill, not have your mind always working. You want to kind of unplug and detach. But you know, being a musician, it's not that easy. It's such a big part of your life, and a big part of your life that gives you so much satisfaction and good feeling, that it's difficult to shut off. So you just have to learn how to live with it. And you know, my record is kind of a journey through how my brain, you know, is thinking and what I'm hearing. So it's definitely, you know, it's a double-edged sword, I guess, as they call it. You know, it could be either good or bad. But I embrace it. No complaints.
So I have two comments. One is I can see this being a spot for creativity, throwing different things in the washing machine, shoes, right, different types of shoes. I mean, we may have opened up something here with all of the things that go into a washing machine.
Yeah, knives, forks, you know, symbols.
Throw symbols in there. Different types of shoes. I mean, the options are limitless. You may go through washing machines pretty quickly, but oh my God. Yeah. So, and the other thing is, I've heard from songwriters, have gotten song ideas from going over, one told me covered bridges in New York, the going over the bumps. I've heard that. I've heard turn signals. Also, this guy, Stu McKenzie from this band, King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. He got a song idea from a car alarm. So it's those external sounds, I think, what you're talking about, right?
Yes. Yes. It's exactly what I'm talking about. And it's, you know, people might think, oh, that's insane. But, you know, we are so sensitive to sounds and feelings, and that I think it's impossible to think that those things wouldn't affect us. And they do. It's just, I don't know. We are unique, very, very unique characters. And I embrace it and just take it and enjoy it. Because, man, I hope it never stops. Yeah.
And what about when you go, I think you mentioned this, going out for walks, but I find that when I'm in a rut, the first thing I do is get the hell out of my desk and go for a walk. And I find that any rut that I'm in, those problems kind of work themselves out. So do you use that as a deliberate part, maybe when you're kind of stuck, or do you find that you get ideas when you are in literal motion?
I get ideas in motion. Walking is very important. When you're in the studio, let's say, like I said, I'm in my room. Sometimes I close the curtains and dim the lights. And what I've been noticing, or that's been helpful for me, is unless I am like on a creative surge, I will set my alarm for either an hour or 90 minutes. So I get up off my chair and either stretch, walk up and down the stairs, you know, go outside, get some air, then come back, set my alarm again. And that helps me. But I've been doing that, I think, more in the editing process. Like whenever I'm in the studio and I have like editing to do, and I've spent, you know, long hours in my chair, stepping away and getting a fresh air, getting some fresh air feels really good. And kind of cleanses your mind to when you come back, you feel a little more focused, and you know, you get the job done, you know, without feeling like you've been sitting in the chair for like 4 hours, and then you try to stand up, and you know, all you hear is crack, crack. Oh man, you know,
Dave, that's because we're getting old.
Yeah, that's what it is. Jeez, I don't want to say that, man. I never want to say I'm getting old. No.
I've heard those cracks. So it's hilarious. Speaking of this, there was an article in the New York Times a couple of weeks ago, and this woman wrote about, she called it the middle age groan. And she says, why is it when you reach a certain age, whenever you get up, you go, you know, but yeah. People have researched this. It's actually a thing. And I was like, this is the greatest article ever. It talks exactly about, you know, or you bend over and you go, like, you reach a certain age where you just instinctually make that sound.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've been catching myself doing it, and I'm trying not to do those moans, because I think recently, yeah, when I was in England, and, you know, I tried to get up or I was getting up. I think I was on the floor and they heard me groan. The band did. And they said, it was that bad, Dave, right? It was, you know, it was pretty bad. You know, does it hurt? and I like realized, you know, wow, I'm making this sound subconsciously. I'm not even thinking about it. And I'm probably, it probably doesn't even hurt that bad. You know, I don't feel that achy, but for some reason you're just doing these groans. I guess it is a certain age that you start developing this habit, but I'm trying to nip it in the bud. I don't want to be like that the rest of my life.
I like what I'm hearing, because, you know, I always think it's important to have a ritual because it gives me confidence, right? Like I write in this chair, but I revise in that chair behind me, because I find that I just need to like separate those two things. And I know that about myself, and I know I'm effective at a certain time of day, you know, I've got to have maybe coffee with me or something like that. But, you know, you mentioned, you just gave me a few minutes ago, your morning routine. You get up, you have breakfast, you do. And I guess, are you aware that that is a routine? And do you say, is that like, do you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I didn't know that it was an actual routine taught by authors, that, you know, specialize in, you know, the art of creativity, or, you know, how to knock down, you know, writing blocks, You know, my wife, she went through really like years of this writer's block. And she could not get past it, you know. And so she bought several, you know, self-help books and to try to get over this. And she was shocked by the fact that I had never read any of these books, but yet I practiced practically everything that that book said that you should do is to, you know, to be a writer, you know, or to break down these roadblocks. And one of them was when you get up in the morning, you know, get up, you know, take your shower, get dressed, you know, get a nice shirt on, and go to your work in your studio. Like, you want to, there was one thing, you want to entice your muse, your creative, you know, spirits or whatever you want to call it, you know, you want to entice them. You want to welcome them. And that's a big part of my process, especially for this drum record. And in the middle of pandemic, I had to make myself feel that I was, going to work and being productive rather than going from bed, studio chair, couch, bed, studio chair, couch, and do nothing other than that. So it's so important to have a routine and discipline. I really focused and made sure that I was completing all the little tasks that were required in creating this record, even as redundant and mundane it was to, you know, edit and certain other less appealing aspects of engineering and recording. Sometimes it's there's problem solving, you know, hey, why isn't this working? Having problems with the computer, you know, you have to go at it in the most positive and I think enthusiastic way possible. I think it's helpful. And, you know, maybe that little delay with that problem that you had with the computer or software, you couldn't get something working, you know, it'll lead to a more, you know, productive evening or the next day, you know, because you've tackled it, you know, and it's very important, man. Discipline and knowing when to stop is another key part, I think, of creativity and writing. Stop meaning you could always make in your mind, you could always make a song better. But at what point are you just exhausting everything and not, exhausting ideas and not really adding, or you could possibly be taking away some of its life and purity, you know? So you have to be, it's a fine line. You have to be careful and disciplined, knowing when to stop and, you know, is very important.
Well, Ernest Hemingway said that he always stopped at night when he had something left in the tank because he was terrified of starting the next day with nothing to say. So he always stopped when he knew that he still had something more. And I thought that was really perceptive, right? To say, because yeah. He just had this fear of, oh my God, I used it all up yesterday. There's nothing. He always wanted to know the next day he had something to look forward to.
Wow. That's interesting. Yeah, I usually stop when I can't keep my eyes open. And it's like, okay,
I am exhausted. I need to shut down now. And I'll crawl in the bed, put the pillow over my head, and I'm done. Out. I'm asleep in a matter of minutes. And, nothing keeping me up. I feel probably, satisfied with the day's progress or the day's work, I think, when I've hit that moment. But then there's times where I'm exhausted trying to solve problems, it's like, okay, I got to walk away from this. And then I'll lay in bed and I'll probably drift in and out of a possible, sleep or a dream or something, and it'll hit me. I know what to do. I forgot to switch, this button or press this or connect that. And then after I've walked away, I've solved the problem after sitting in front of the computer for several hours trying to figure it out. And that's an amazing moment, when that happens. You spend hours frustrated trying to figure the shit out. And the next thing you know, all you do is walk away. You go to bed or watch TV and it'll come to you. It's like, oh, you need to just do this. There it is. All right. there's the cure to the whole headache,
So you said something that reminds me of my process. And so, I'm a prose writer. I don't write songs, but I find that if I finish something in the late morning and I look at it at the end of the day to go to revise it, the writing is still too precious to me. I'm not willing to give up anything because it's still fresh in my mind. But if I finish something at night and let it wake up the next morning, there's something about sleep where I can approach that piece of writing the next day and I'm much more willing to get rid of stuff. Like I can cut stuff like it's nobody's business with a night's sleep, but I find that if it's a same day thing, it's still too precious. So there's something about sleep where you wake up, you go, oh, I can get rid of that.
Yeah. Yeah. With improvising, a lot of this record, of course, it's creativity and sitting behind the drum set and percussion and improvising. What I do, which is similar to what you're mentioning, I call it trimming the fat. It's like I'll sit there and I'll trim fat. I'll just say, okay, I don't need this. This is excess. This is too much. All right, I need to allow a little more space here. And that's when I've had like a really good and productive creative moment. So I'll have that to look forward to the next day. It's like, okay, I'm going to leave this. And then I'll come back and I'll listen to it. It's like, okay, this is too much. Okay, I'll take this out. I don't like this. Remove that, And so it's similar. Yes, it's that's important, key. And sometimes less is more. You get your point across, with one line instead of a paragraph.
Okay, couple more questions. I'm going to read you this quote from a writer, E.L. Doctorow, the novelist. I read this to songwriters and they love it. So I'm curious your take on this when it comes to songwriting. So he says, writing is like driving at night. You can only see as far as the headlights, but you can make the whole trip that way. That's amazing. I'm going to read that again. Writing is like,
please.
Yeah. Writing is like driving at night. You can only see as far as the headlights, but you can make the whole trip that way.
I get it. Yeah. It's true. You are venturing in this realm of, let's say, the creative, let's say rhythm or textures, whatever it is that you're trying to create. And all you have is, these sounds being layered and rhythm. And then you really don't know the outcome. So you don't know what the big picture is. You're just focused on this, just radius, a certain radius, a certain area That's fascinating. I love that. That's really, really, really cool.
And that's it for the latest episode of Songwriters on Process. Don't forget, you can find all of my interviews with over 200 songwriters on my Songwriters on Process website at songwritersonprocess.com, going all the way back to 2010. You can read them, watch them, or listen to them. So until next time, thanks for listening.